Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Say break! Banking week on Evan and Tiki. Welcome in. The New York Mets are a first-place team. Rory McIlroy completed his masterpiece by winning the Masters.
It only took him 11 times.
The New York Knicks know who their first-round opponent is. I confronted Josh Hart in the Knicks locker room. There's a lot to get to on this very busy Monday, and I promise we will get to all of it, and we'll talk to you throughout the day at 888-808-1019. But we are only 15 games into the baseball season, so it is difficult at times to kind of go through what is real and what is, hey, it's just a small sample size. But the Yankees starting pitching concerns are real, Tiki.
Yes, they are.
Despite it only being 15 games. And right now, 15 games into the year, I'll ask you guys a trivia question. Which starting pitching staff has the worst ERA in Major League Baseball?
It's got to be the Yankees. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking.
That's true. That's a good point. It's not the Tampa Bay Rays. It's the New York Yankees. I think that's real. Which starting pitching staff has the best ERA in Major League Baseball?
That's got to be the Mets.
That's got to be the Mets. And quite frankly, we'll get more into that as the show goes on. I don't think that's real. But the reason I'm concerned about the Yankees, and I go back to something I said a year ago and something that I've kind of feared for a while, a lot of you have, and that is I don't trust Carlos Rodon. I don't trust him in a big spot. I don't trust him in a small spot. And what we saw over the weekend, yesterday specifically, is even Tiki, when he's at his best,
right,
I don't trust him because that one or two mistakes will sink his outing, and that's what we saw yesterday, and I don't trust him. And quite frankly, I don't trust anybody in the Yankee rotation not named Maxwell Fried.
Yeah, Max Fried is the only one that's been consistent. You know, Stroman, who we talked about the other day, last weekend, at the end of last week, he goes out and gets rocked immediately, then he leaves the game and has knee inflammation. I guess I can say, fortunately, it's not that much, but it feels like Marcus Stroman doesn't have a lot left. At least he hasn't shown it so far this year. Now, maybe that's injury. Carlos Carrasco is just shot. Will Warren is just young. There's nowhere you can turn to and say, other than Max Fried, and say, I trust this outing is going to get five innings.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about the Mets have had their struggles, too, with some of their starting pitching. Tyler McGill gets off to rough starts, right? So does Dave Peterson. But they figure it out, right? In the midst of struggle, you get a mound visit from their pitching coach, and all of a sudden, they're back on. They get through five innings, get to the bullpen, things settle down, they find ways to win games. For the Yankees, it's, I can't figure it out. I get rocked early, and then I don't know if it's emotional or if it's just a self-fulfilling, and I mean this negatively, prophecy, then the bats go dead.
Right.
And so it's like, everything feels connected towards spiraling down with the Yankees, whereas the other team in town, when things go wrong, they kind of just stabilize, figure it out, and rise.
Yeah,
that's the challenge for the Yankees right now, is figuring out how to not let the little bad mistakes happening early compound to become a meaningless game.
I think that early in the season, you see things and you can easily say, yeah, that's happening, but it will change. Like, on the Mets side, Juan Soto's not off to a great start. I'm not worried about it. I think at the end of the day, Juan Soto's going to put up massive numbers.
He's Juan Soto.
Same thing when Aaron Judge got off to a bad start last year.
Right.
I look at the Yankee offense, and while they're averaging 6 runs per game, they've also been wildly inconsistent. They got off to a great start with the torpedo bats. Then they don't hit. Then they hit. Then they don't hit
again. It wasn't the bats.
Of course. But it was a convenient story at the time. I think the Yankee bats will be fine. I think their bullpen will be fine. I don't know about this rotation because I see Max Fried, and you mentioned it, Tiki. I put him to the side. Max Fried was given $200 million for a reason. He's one of the better, more reliable starting pitchers in baseball. You look at the rest of the rotation, Carlos Rodon, who is my concern number one, and I know you share that too, Sean,
when
you told him to kiss your fat ass about a year and a half ago. But the problem with him, in a lot of ways, is yesterday. Like, that's the start that drives me nuts.
Right.
Because it's one thing when you have a bad day and you survive and you fight through 5 or 6 innings and you give your team innings and you keep your team in the game. Yesterday, Carlos Rodon was electric. He was exactly what you paid for. But he made just enough mistakes to screw himself and screw the Yankees. And he seems so uber emotional. We saw that in the postseason last year. We see it even after games. Like, 2 starts ago, Rodon was almost about to cry when he was talking about, I'm walking too many guys. Then he comes out in his last start yesterday and, of course, issues the horrific walk specifically to Willy Adames right before he gave up the home run. It's almost like these moments get to him. It's almost like the emotion gets to him. And look, a game on
April—that's what it is.
Is that what it is?
It's the emotion.
Well, that's concerning.
Of course it is. I mean, it's a good thing when it works for you. When it allows you to rear back and hit 97 or whatever it is you need to do to record it out. But when it starts to affect your mind and your approach and you then make mistakes off of that, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
That's what he needs to figure out how to control.
It just seems like you look at last year's postseason. He made 4 starts in the postseason. 3 of them were lousy. 1 of them was really good in the ALCS when he controlled his emotion against Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't walk anybody. Like, it was incredible. He walked basically nobody in the postseason, but he gave up the big home run. He gave up the big hit in the worst possible moment. That's exactly what happened yesterday. So what concerns me about Rodon is, A, I think the emotion gets to him, which is a part of why I'm still not fully convinced he's made for this city and made for this town. And even on days in which he's really good, his stuff is electric, he fails.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it because he's making a lot of money and he's going to be in the rotation. And God knows they need him, considering the injuries they're dealing with. But he is probably the face of my worries around the Yankee rotation.
There's no doubt about it, Evan. And also, now we're talking about a career pattern that cannot be ignored. Going back to 2020, we are talking about high ERA, sub ERA, high ERA, sub ERA. We got the best of Carlos Rodon last year at that 3.96. Look at the year before, 6.85. The year before that in the twos, and then he gets back to an 8 in 2020.
Going
back, it's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The trend is too much to ignore. He's going to be like this all year, where you feel like you get dominant innings and complete implosion in others. And what the Yankees have to do and have to figure out, and hopefully part of that is Clark Schmidt coming back. They just can't rely on him, salary be damned, to be this number two guy and think that every turn through the rotation, you're at least going to get a Max Fried and a Rodon start. I'm sorry, his inconsistencies tell me he has to be counted on more like the fourth, fifth starter on this team.
And that's why you mentioned the guy's name, Clark Schmidt, is on his way back this week.
Mm-hmm.
And in his first start back, he's probably not even going to be allowed to throw that many pitches, but they need him. I mean, Clark Schmidt has all of a sudden become one of the most important New York Yankees because Carlos Carrasco, and he'll be on the mound tonight in what may be his final start as a Yankee. We'll see. I think the Marcus Stroman injury has kind of saved him a little bit. We'll see how severe that is. But Carlos Carrasco stinks. No one's trusting him. Will Warren's an X factor because I think in his 3 starts he's been effective. 2 out of 3 have been good.
Pitch well Saturday.
He did, but he doesn't go deep into games, and you don't know what to expect from him. And then you wait for the cavalry to come back. Luis Gil, God knows when he's coming back. And you mentioned with Stroman, he's down for now, but he has been so bad to start this season. Friday night, and here's why I can't blame the weather. I can't blame the weather because the Giants have to play in the weather, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not the weather stunk. That's why Marcus Stroman couldn't get a freaking out before he gave up 5 runs. So there are a lot of questions around this rotation, and it's concerning because I think coming into this season, the reason I believe the Yankees were going to win the division, the reason I thought the Yankees would be fine, was because I thought their starting pitching would be their strength. And now, if the Yankees are going to have success, they're going to have to score a lot of runs.
It was.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It was their strength until it wasn't. And it happened very quickly for the heel injury and then obviously with the Tommy John that Garrett Cole had to go through. So all of a sudden, their biggest strength became now their biggest liability. And the challenge is that there's not easy answers, right? There's not this ready. Well, we thought Will Warren would be that kid, but there's not that ready and willing, able arm in the AAA, the AA that's ready to come up and fill that role. And maybe they have to do that at some point just to see. But do you trust that?
No.
I don't trust that.
No.
And so they would have been here already. And no. So at this point, where do you turn to if you're the Yankees? And it's too early to start saying this is desperation moments, right? We need to trade for somebody. It's way too early to do that. But I don't know how much longer you can wait before you start thinking of doing that.
I think the danger of what we're understanding now is you can't assume the Yankees figure out how to fill every problem they have when the time does come to make trades on this team, right? Come trade deadline. And I think as it stands, I have a hard time thinking that the importance won't be on finding a starting pitcher over finding another bat or even a third baseman. So all those other holes we talked about in the Yankees, they may ultimately have to live with as we get deeper into summer where they use their assets to acquire a starting pitcher.
It's funny, Meg, because when we sat here in March getting ready for the start of this baseball season, you looked at the pitching, and you said it, Tiki, it was till it wasn't, mm-hmm. as the strength. Like, yeah, they're not going to have to add an arm at the trade deadline. It's going to be a bat, maybe a third baseman.
Right.
I have more confidence in this Yankee offense being the strength of this team, granted through only 15 games, than I do the rotation. Because I can see where the Yankee offense will be their strength. You can see where, despite a bad defensive play yesterday by Paul Goldschmidt, it looks like he's having a renaissance season. You can see Anthony Volpe having a much better year than a year ago. You can see Aaron Judge mm-hmm. being the monster that he is. You can see Ben Rice, who every day, by the way, I got to point this out from a different person. I get text messages comparing Ben Rice's numbers to Juan Soto's numbers. Every day. Every day I get it.
Some are calling him the best 22 in New York.
Oh, no, I've got that message, too. Like, on cue. Well,
maybe, you know how you flip that, Evan?
How do I flip that?
You
the
say,
record?
No. You just, well, yeah, obviously. But you flip that by saying he wasn't this until he was wearing Juan Soto's 22.
Oh, yeah. He needed the magic of the 22.
He needed the magic of who wore it last year. That's how you flip it.
You know how I flip it? I don't flip it. I say, fine, enjoy that. If you want to brag on April 14th that Ben Rice has better numbers than Juan Soto, that's all yours, baby.
He's the future. He's the truth.
But I get why I would be excited about Ben Rice. Like, I'm not telling a Yankee fan not to, and I get why you can look at this offense and say, hey, if we're going to have success this season, that's going to be our strength. But there's one other thing that's happening through the first 15 games that I don't think is an anomaly, and I don't want to take any victory laps because it's only 15 games. despite the New York Yankees being 8-7, despite the Yankees having lost four consecutive series, despite the Yankees having the worst starting pitching ERA in baseball, despite the Yankees getting subpar pitching so far from their closer, Devin Williams, the New York Yankees at 8-7 are one game off having the best record in the American League. And that's the best part. Despite all the flaws we may talk about today and throughout the season, everybody else has as many flaws, if not more.
Right, that's the reality of Major League Baseball. And we always know this. It's early in the season. I mean, you're only 16 games in, 15 some of these teams. And so nothing has really been decided yet. Nothing has been set in stone. This is what it's going to be for the rest of the year. And the Yankees, as inconsistent as they've been, just a game over 500, are one of the best teams in the American League still. So it doesn't necessarily matter.
That's the good part. There's no one else in this league that's that much better. And the answer to the rotation issues, unfortunately, is everyone's going out there every 5 days. They just need to be better.
Right.
Carlos Rodon needs to be better. When he has his excellent stuff, he can't commit the big walk right before he gives up a two-run home run. Can't happen. They're going to need Clark Schmidt when he returns this week to be the guy we saw last year before he got hurt. We're going to need to see Will Warren at least be an effective 4-5-inning back of the rotation arm. And yes, you're going to continue to see Max Fried be a top of the rotation arm, because there isn't anything you could do about it. There's no trade you're making in the middle of April. There's no super prospect you're calling up tomorrow to save things. It's just a matter of taking stock through 15 games. What's real and what's not real? Like, I look at this offense, I think they can score a lot of runs.
Mm-hmm.
I feel better about the offense today than I did going into the start of the season. I feel worse by a lot about the starting pitching. So can it change? Will it be the thing that derails their season? We'll get your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. But something else happened over the weekend that needs to be addressed. I saw something with my own two hazel eyes I don't think I've ever seen before. We saw a manager say, I quit. We saw a manager say, this game is over. I'm going to pull a tiki and I want to leave early. We'll address what happened at Yankee Stadium on Friday night. Plus, is there a controversy surrounding Juan Soto? We'll try to address that coming up. Plus, the Masters. Plus, the New York Knicks have a first round opponent. It's a very, 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 very busy Monday. And Aaron Boone, if you're listening, you know I got nothing but respect for you. But I don't like what you did Friday. And let me walk you guys through it in case you missed it. The Yankees in Major League Baseball made a decision, and they made this decision because Rob Manfred isn't the smartest commissioner in the world, where they started the Yankee-Giant game in horrible weather. They started it a half hour late, but they started the game in horrible weather because nowadays you play every team in baseball, so the ability to make up postponed games is more challenging than it was 3-4 years ago. So I'm with Aaron Boone. Starting this game in terrible conditions, not good. Not good for the players, not good for the fans. Simpatico. Marcus Stroman sucks. Now, does Marcus Stroman suck because he has a knee issue? Does Marcus Stroman suck because the weather's bad? Or does Marcus Stroman suck because, I don't know, now he sucks? I can't answer that. All I know is he sucked on Friday.
Yeah, he did.
The Yankees are getting their butts kicked. This is turning into an ugly one. It is 9-1 in the top of the sixth inning, and the bases are loaded because, I forget who was in the game, oh, it was Yoendris Gomez is in the game, and he's struggling to throw strikes, he's slipping off the mound, it's a mess, okay? But it's the sixth inning of a 9-1 game. If you're the New York Yankees with your torpedo bats, you still have 12 more outs.
Mm.
I know the game is likely over,
yeah.
But I told Jet and Spence, one of the beauties of baseball that it has over football and basketball and hockey is that there is no clock that can finish your game. Obviously, there's a pitch clock, but there's not a clock that you can run out. Like, ultimately, you got to get 27 outs. In football, you may have a big lead. Probably the wrong person to talk to you about since Giants-Niners happened in the postseason, but there's a moment where the game's over.
No, you're right.
There's no moment in baseball. With that said, Aaron Boone went out to the mound after Gomez had walked Lamont Wade, and Aaron Boone begged the umpires to stop the game. He begged the umpires to put the tarp on the field, which meant he begged the umpires to lose. He said, please end this game. He tried to mercy rule it in the sixth inning of a baseball game that you people spent your hard-earned money on. Now, I know if Aaron Boone was here, he'd say, come on, Evan, you're being unreasonable. It was 9-1. I'm not being unreasonable.
It wasn't that it was 9-1. It was that the conditions were deteriorating.
BS. It's 2-1. He's begging to lose? Because it's an official game in the sixth inning.
No, you're right.
He quit. Aaron Boone decided, and he did something that while we may think it at the time, like Sean May has shut that game off, I respect that. Aaron Boone did something no manager should ever do. He begged them to end the game. And then Bob Melvin, this was amazing to me. Bob Melvin's like, what are we doing? Why are we stopping this game? Because you know what Bob Melvin was thinking?
What's that?
He's like, screw you, bro. Let's play these last three innings and go use your bullpen.
Nah.
Why do you get out of this? I cannot believe that we saw a manager basically say, please end the game. Give me the L. Give me the L, please. I need the L because we can't play baseball anymore because the conditions are bad and I'm giving up. I'm already giving you the loss. We lost. Not our night. Let's move on.
You know,
I've never seen that before.
You know, on Friday in the sixth inning, what I was begging for?
What's that?
The end of the game as well.
Not Aaron Boone.
I was, you know, that whole thing, was it Braveheart? Not Braveheart. Where he's like, I'm not. Are you entertained?
Gladiator.
Gladiator. Are you not entertained? Hell to the no. That game, I could not wait for it to be over because there was zero chance the Yankees were mounting some kind of rally. The weather was, you could see it affecting not only the performance of the player, especially on the Yankees, but just their mind. Like you could see they weren't into it.
Let me ask you a question before you respond to this because I'm actually offended by you right now.
Go ahead.
If you were playing an NFL regular season game.
No, you can't even
talk
about it.
Why not?
Because football, we're warriors. We play in weather. We play through snow. We play through downpours. We play with broken bones. I broke my forearm.
I know.
I played 2 weeks later. I broke my thumb in a game. I literally said, don't take my glove off. Just tape it. Let's go. Would that happen to a baseball player? He'd be crying. Oh, my God, my thumb is broken. There's no way I can hold a bat, much less throw a ball. You can't compare football to baseball.
I'm going to try and one more baseball, time. I'm sorry, I have
to. With baseball, with 146 more games to go, tap out.
You're down 35-3 with 6 minutes to go, but there's a monsoon. So the game is essentially over clockwise, and Tom Coughlin is begging the officials, just stop the game. We'll take our L.
He would.
Of course he wouldn't.
Because you don't do it in football.
Well, I don't think you should do it in any sport. I get there's 162 games, and I get that Aaron doesn't want his players getting hurt, but I'm being serious, man. I've watched thousands of baseball games. I have never seen a manager beg for a loss.
He begged for a loss. You have one chance right now on this microphone to apologize to Aaron Boone. I'm giving you one chance.
What example are you going to bring up?
You just said you've never seen a manager give up on a baseball game before. What do you call it every time a position player comes in to pitch in blowouts? What do you call that, Evan?
They're at least playing through the game.
You're playing through the game because you have to, because there's no weather and fans have paid to come in attendance.
Right.
That is giving up on a game. You cannot tell me. Right. You cannot tell me 27 outs and everything. A position player comes in, a manager has waved the white flag, the game's over, and
when's the last time that happened in the sixth inning of a baseball game, down 9-1? This is the sixth inning. There were 12 outs to go in the game.
I'm pretty sure it was the seventh win, like a week ago when the Brewers brought in
the
position.
And the other thing that does need to be addressed in this whole situation from Friday is, why don't you talk to the fans who actually went to the game?
Yeah.
Talk to the fans and ask them if they were cool with the manager basically saying, I know the weather sucked and they shouldn't have played the game anyway, but the manager was begging for a loss. He was saying, please stop the game. This is a joke. He said it after the game. Worst conditions of all time. I don't even disagree with that part, but begging for a loss?
Boone had the fans back in that spot by saying, let's end the game. People were done. Stroman gave those fans no chance. All those fans should be commended for sitting out there. And Boone saved them from freaking pneumonia for sitting out there for no reason. Well, probably taking the shirts off, acting like idiots because the weather was bad.
If the weather
sucked and the game was over, Evan.
If someone wanted to leave because the weather sucked or didn't want to show up.
A lot of people did.
They have every right to.
Show me the one fan angry that was there that said, Aaron, how could you end this game? I'm sitting here. It's 9-1. Are you kidding me?
You are dead wrong. You don't think there are
people? You think there were three Evan Roberts there with the scorecards out going, how could you do this, Aaron? No way on a Friday night.
It's not actually the three Evan Roberts. It's actually the three Tommy Lugauers. Mm. It's a Friday night. He just got free tickets to a Yankee game.
And they're getting bombed. It's the sixth inning.
I'm not done yet. He's in the club. He's got lots of drinks flowing. And all of a sudden he's told, you must go home now.
Just convert to shots. You'll be fine. Don't slow sip. Just take some shots, and you'll be good.
They ended Tommy's night early.
No. The Tommy Lugauers of the world easily found a better vibe and drier at Billy's and Stan's after the game with the rest of the people that wanted to act like Tommy.
Maybe that part is true, that what Sean just said.
Maybe it's my sick thought that in the sixth inning of a baseball game, I don't give up. I don't think, like, even though it's likely you're going to lose the game, that you would just say, okay, it's over. Because that's what the manager did. He said, all right, I'm done.
I think Aaron Boone was saying it's more likely that this thing is naturally going to get canceled. So why not do it now?
And what if Aaron Judge has a freak injury slipping on extremely wet grass? Would we be telling Aaron Boone, why didn't you try to end this game?
No, you would say, take him out of the game then. If that's really what you want to do.
That's also giving up, Evan.
So then why not, when you're down 14-1, aren't we going to see more managers say, up, it's drizzling outside, we got to stop the game. Nothing good can happen.
Come
we're going to waste our bullpen.
That's not inevitably going to end. This game was inevitably going to end.
Yeah.
It was going to end which way? With them losing?
No, with canceling because of the weather. Mm-hmm. It was bad. Like, there was a point where you felt like these pitchers cannot grip this baseball.
I understand the conditions were terrible.
And someone's going to legitimately get hurt because they're trying to throw a fastball in, high and inside, and they nail somebody in the face. Right? That felt like it was going to happen.
But ultimately, Teague, you agree with me. You're just saying baseball is softer. And
100%.
Baseball has more games, who cares?
I accept that baseball is softer. I accept it. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. I don't need my baseball players to be badasses and, I don't know, Rambos. Like, I don't need that, right? Be safe. Be available tomorrow or 2 weeks from now. And let's go. You got 146 more of these things to go.
It's also an unfair comparison because in past, baseball would have never started that game or played to begin with. They played the game because the San Francisco Giants are coming in once this year in April, and there's a lack of off days, which was a bigger problem we got to
last year. By the way, and I agree with that. It's
so
a mistake.
You started the game in a monsoon, a game that under normal circumstances, if it was the Toronto Blue Jays on Friday night, I got news for you, the game would have been canceled. There would have been a doubleheader the next time the Blue Jays come in. So they were playing a game that had to be played to fulfill schedule stuff. The fans that did show up wanted to get the hell out of there in the sixth inning anyway, and you protected your players from getting hurt and did the same thing a manager would do in a blowout if they brought in a position player to pitch.
Sean, you're so right. You can hear the conversation in MLB headquarters. We have to play this game.
Of course.
By hell or high water, we're playing this game. So I know it's going to suck. I guarantee this conversation happened.
No, I agree with that part. And it stinks that it did.
It's going to suck. Manage yourselves effectively. Yeah. But you got to get to six innings.
Yeah. And then we had a manager losing 9-1 saying, please end the game. Let's mercy rule this.
Yeah, but I think that's
I
think it's probably because they were told you got to get to six innings.
But I understand what they were told. I understand why they played the game. I agree with you guys. That sucked. And it's on Rob Manfred for the way he has the schedule. I'm just telling you, I've never seen a manager beg for a loss.
I don't think
I should stick you in a locker, geek.
I don't think
I feel threatened right now.
I think it was some computer algorithm. I doubt it was Rob. He had to ultimately approve it, but I guarantee it's some computer.
Let's get to some of your calls. 888-808-1019. Steve's in New Hyde Park. What's up, Steve?
Oh, Evan, how are you? Hey, Tiki, what's up?
What's up?
All's good, man.
So, how you doing? You guys are killing me. Tiki, when you were talking about the weather conditions and the softness of baseball players and toughness of football players, I got a quick question. Did you guys ever see George Carlin stand up?
Yes.
Baseball versus football?
Yes. It's one of the great stand up acts of all time. Like, he would say, in baseball, they call it a diamond. In football, it's the gridiron.
His delivery was awesome.
Yeah, basically comparing the two sports. Yes.
But that's classic. So, my question is, back to baseball. I agree. It's funny. I called Al Cintron on Saturday evening, and we were talking about the Yankees and Carlos. We call it Carlos Rodon, Carlos Rodon. And I had a bad feeling. I told Al, I said, Al, I have no faith in Carlos Rodon because, again, he goes out there, the guy has the stuff, walks the two batters, gives up the home run to Lee, and I'm like, here we go again. Here we go again. Like, this guy is so inconsistent. And I feel like the Yankees really need to address their rotation. I agree with Evan. I feel like the bats are going to be okay. Maybe we need to upgrade at third base where we possibly could put Cabrera back in the utility role. That's what I feel like he would be better suited.
Well, to your point.
But he's been good at third so far.
To your point, though, about Rodon, here's the issue. There's nothing we can do about it other than bitch and moan.
Right.
He's not being demoted. They're not trading him. He is what he is, and he's stuck here. And it's his third year here, and I still feel the way I felt early last year and late in 2023, which is I don't think he's got to make up the pitch here. And I know it's one of those things that I can't prove to you, and you can't prove it back to me, but I still get a vibe on him that I think he's too emotional to pitch in this town, and that's a part of his issues.
I haven't flipped to that yet because I remember when he first signed here, BT and I, we interviewed him. And after the interview, it was like, man, I love that guy's energy. Like, he's got like a I don't give a you know what mindset. And that should play in New York. Just as long as you perform, then like it doesn't matter what people think about you. But the problem is he doesn't perform consistently. And so he can be mentally strong enough to weather the negativity that comes from being in New York and playing in New York and the media and the fans and all that other stuff. But ultimately, you gotta just pitch well.
Right.
And he just doesn't do that.
And the word is inconsistent.
Yes.
And our last caller's right about that. Larry's in upstate New York. Hey, Larry.
Yeah, Evan, you're not looking at the big picture. So by Boone asking for the loss, that saves him for the next two games. So if he was to play it out, they may not have a bullpen the next two games. Now you lose three games instead of one.
Larry, I understand why it benefits the bullpen and it benefits guys not getting hurt. I get it. But when have you seen? Sounds like you've watched a lot of baseball in your life. Have you ever seen a manager beg for a loss? Or is that something you're normally used to seeing?
No, but he's got to do what he's got to do. He's managing the game.
I understand. But Larry, what I'm saying is I've never seen it before. Have you? And don't just give me, well, it's the new scheduling. They played in this rainstorm. Like, I get it. But when have we ever seen a manager beg for a loss? And I guess it's my own issue. My own issue is a part of why I love baseball, a part of what got me into the sport, a part of why, as much as I love basketball and as much as I love football, baseball will have the edge, is that there is no clock. And what I told my kids the first time I ever took them to a game is, we don't leave early because I don't care if it's 19-1, a team can come back. I can't say that in the NBA.
No.
I can't say that in the NFL, but I can say it in baseball. And so that's a part of my DNA of loving this sport. A game is never over. And with 12 outs to go, down by 8 runs at home, we saw a manager tap out.
You're an idiot.
Boone might be right there. Because this game was not going to last much longer. I really don't think
it was. But did you hear anything I just said?
I heard everything. I get it. I get what you're saying.
You don't get it, though.
I get what you're saying because you're trying to create a mindset that Aaron Boone's a quitter because he felt like they didn't have a shot to win
the game. Did you just call Aaron Boone a quitter?
I did not. You called Aaron Boone a quitter.
Oh, did I?
But the reality is Aaron Boone knew that his team didn't have it, and this game was about to get canceled anyways. Ended anyways. It felt like it. It felt like it for a couple of innings. Like, man, this is ugly. Nothing good is going to happen if this game continues to go on. It's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse.
Now, today is a holiday. I'm not sure if Tiki's aware of it, but Glenn in Smithtown and I have a celebration plan for today. Glenn, would you like to tell Tiki and the world what we're so excited about?
Oh, gentlemen, I spoke to you the day after the Yankees lost, and you said that Yankee Elimination Day was the best day of the year, and I called and I disagreed. And I said, it's not Yankee Elimination Day, it's Red Day, Ranger Elimination Day. And I have to call out Sean, and you know the L, I think this he should permanently wear the L for his tweet 1 year ago yesterday. Will the ticker tape be fully cleaned up from the Rangers parade by the time the Yankees have theirs? And when I called, he said, oh, no, I meant 2024-25. So, Sean, where are you? For the 84th time in the last 85 years, the New York Rangers have been eliminated from Stanley Cup contention.
Thank you, Glenn. Wonderful phone call. Sean,
well done.
Do you have a retort?
Yeah, Glenn, you're a loser, okay? First of all, what team do you root for? I'm sure they're about to be eliminated.
I don't think
soon.
You should call our callers losers. Okay. That's very insulting.
Hold on. He wants me taking an L for something a year ago when I was the one who was anti-Ranger throughout the year.
Time out. Before you continue, we have unearthed audio footage from, I'm not kidding you, 2 months ago.
What?
We have unearthed audio from 2 months ago. So please, Tommy, can you play this clip from 2 months ago?
It's my pleasure.
The Rangers will win the Stanley Cup this year.
Okay, yeah.
That was 2 months
ago. I got confidence after a two-game win streak.
Wow.
I've been real about this team all year long. See last week's rant, and all I'll say is this. Enjoy your little Ranger elimination stuff, your pom-poms. Everybody's waving them. Because the last time the Rangers went out in round one, President's Trophy the next year, and missed the playoffs, that following year was 1994.
Stop it.
So we are in the same exact pattern. And Sam Rosen, this one will last a lifetime, no longer the announcer next year. The first year of the Kenny Albert era, we are lining up for a Ranger Cup next
year. Wow. I am impressed with your pivots.
It's a story.
It's just a constant pivot.
That's a constant
pivot. No, but Tiki, if we learned anything today, it's about patterns, right? Carlos Rodon is a pattern. The Rangers have a pattern. Next year, we're going to simultaneously get a good Carlos Rodon season and a Ranger Cup.
Well,
think about that.
Okay, now, the rules of the L around here is that it needs to be unanimous. Tiki, me, and Lugie, in this case, would have to all agree that Sean's wrong take or opinion deserves an L. Our last caller suggested that Sean's brashness around the New York Rangers, including that clip we played from 2 months ago, that they would win the Stanley Cup.
There's been a lot of it.
A lot of it, that is L-worthy.
You guys know the context of me on the Rangers this year. You know it deep down. Sean, I don't need this.
Sean,
I won't report for my summons.
Sean, we're having a meeting amongst us three, and then we'll talk to you.
You're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to speak right now. So, Tiki, I'll let you start. Do you think this is L-worthy?
Yeah, the abject brashness in his, even if it was tongue-in-cheek, which I don't believe it actually was, he was trying to convince himself that the Rangers were a championship-viable team.
Wait, you don't have my back on something
Sean,
tongue-in-cheek?
Sean, please.
Shut up!
And then to declare just a month, 2 weeks ago? Was that 2 months ago?
2 months ago, yes.
2 months ago? That the Rangers were not just making the playoffs. Hey, the Rangers are making the playoffs. I could have got behind. Winning the Stanley Cup? The audacity. Yeah, that's L-worthy.
L-worthy. All right. One for one. It's got to be unanimous. Tommy Lugauer, do you think that everything Tiki just described is L-worthy for Sean Morash?
Slap the L on him. I think his behavior with the Rangers this season was actually worse than last season.
Are you kidding me?
Because of the waffling, and then they go on like one little streak, and you got him winning the Stanley Cup. You didn't have the guts to take that bet with me, the Knicks Rangers bet.
Waffling and guts? I'm sorry that I give real thoughts,
Sean,
and I don't just tweet out
Sean. Sean.
You don't believe the nerve on this guy?
You're not allowed to participate
the nerve
right
on
now.
Him?
Sean, we're not. You're not allowed
vacation
to participate.
Plans, Tommy.
We're not real allowed to participate.
Sean.
Tommy, you just said something very important.
Thank you.
He didn't even have real belief.
No.
Mm. It was fake fandom.
Correct.
He should be wearing an L for not being a good enough Ranger fan.
You can have a temper tantrum all you want. You didn't want to take that bet with me. We got to wait to the deadline. We got to wait till this. We got to wait till that. And then when they showed you barely even a glimmer of hope, you had them winning the Stanley Cup. And now you're acting like they're going to win the Stanley Cup next year. They've won two cups in the last 85 years. I guess a broken clock is right twice. So you have a chance with all your stupid predictions.
So you're saying L for
sure.
Slap
the L on.
All right. I will try to make this unanimous.
Uh-huh.
Sean, I want to look in your eyes when I say this to you. I've thought about it as Tiki was talking, as Tommy was talking, and obviously I'm open about hating the New York Rangers. But I do not believe you should wear an L.
Well, thank God.
I am exonerating you, and I'm going to tell you why.
Jeez.
You mad at me?
Go ahead.
I'm going to be fair about this. As much as I am celebrating the Rangers' demise, I looked into your eyes all season long. And we goaded you into this bet with Tommy Lugauer, which you're paying off on next Thursday at our NFL draft show at American Dream.
That's another reminder. Yes, come down to the Dream Bar next Thursday.
We're going to be at the Dream Bar, and he has to dress as the Larry O'Brien Trophy. But all year when I looked into your eyes about the New York Rangers, forget about what you said, forget about what you tweeted, I looked into your eyes. You didn't believe. You never said it with conviction. Even that clip. Can you load it up again when he said the Rangers are going to win the Stanley Cup? I want everyone to listen very carefully. There's zero conviction in his voice as he said this.
The Rangers will win the Stanley Cup this year.
Didn't buy it then, didn't buy it now. And because of that, to me, not L-worthy. So I disagree with Tiki, I disagree with Lugie. You're off, so congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Evan. Now we'll never know what I would have done if you voted unanimously.
What would I have done?
What do you mean?
You would have worn the L.
That would have been the last you heard from me, and I would have seen you at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
You would have left?
Walked out of the building.
Wow.
That makes
sense. Stabbed in the back by all three of you.
Right. They would have changed your access card.
They would have. You need to let it play out. You never know what I'm going to think or what Tiki's going to think or what Tommy's going to think. We may surprise you sometimes.
It was Tommy's attitude. Tiki, I can respect. Tommy's attitude was so jaded and so one-sided and frankly, a disgusting act in front of Congress.
Not really. Considering that I had to dress up like the Cup at our kickoff the summer and I did it gracefully. I was even on vacation when I got hit up about it, told I was going to do it. And you've acted like a 3-year-old and Evan, you know, lets you act like this, so he fosters this environment
what?
Of you having temper tantrums and being a baby, and and you get to set your own rules. It's ridiculous, but you know what? I'll be the bigger man here. Evan didn't agree on it, so fine. But you act like a baby constantly.
He does act like a baby constantly, but in this case, I got to call it like I see it. I got to do rule of law, like I'm a home plate umpire looking at balls and strikes. Mark's in Brooklyn. How are you, Mark?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
What's up, dude?
Evan, I got to call you out. In a sport where we have pitcher skipping starts, we have days off, we have BSIL stints, position players pitching, how are you going to say that managers don't try to lose games? It's a 162-game season. But I have one last point that mm-hmm. I think opens up an interesting question. I am not a Rangers fan, but your buddy behind the screen is a Rangers fan. Sean, what's more disappointing? The Yankees, the way they lost, big expectations in the World Series, or Rangers, similar to the same expectations, didn't even make the playoffs. Rangers suck. What do you think?
Rangers suck. What do you think? Well, great way to end the phone call.
What I think is a great ending by the phone call. There is no doubt about it. I think in this town, pound for pound, the 2024-2025 Rangers, based on everything we thought coming in, what happened the previous year, and what it ended up at, are the most disappointing New York sports
season.
But
are they really?
In the last 25
Wasn't
years.
Wasn't there so much... Like, couldn't you see the signs very early, even before, where guys were getting traded?
Yeah, the Truba stuff.
It's like the buy-in didn't feel there from the players.
Well, you didn't know the buy-in wasn't there with the players. They also started 12-4 on the season after all of that, Tiki.
Yeah, I know, but it just felt like it was tumultuous the offseason.
They hung a regular season championship banner on opening night, started 12-4, had all the tumultuous stuff, and didn't even make the playoffs.
Right.
That is far worse than any Yankee playoff
elimination. No, you're right, you're right.
I have a great question in regards to that. Like, what's more pathetic is always a fun question. And the only person I think can really answer it honestly is Tommy, because Tommy likes both of the teams in question. I'd have a bias. Sean would have a bias. Tiki could call it like it mm-hmm. is. So your opinion I'm curious about, too. What's more pathetic, okay? What's more pathetic? The New York Mets having a banner for a wild card spot, okay? Mm-hmm. Mets wild card banner. Or... the Knicks having a banner for an Atlantic Division championship in 2013. What is more pathetic? It's a great question, right, Teek?
It is.
Thank you.
I'm going to go Knicks.
You're going to go Knicks?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to go Knicks on that one.
You're going to go Knicks because divisions don't even matter in the NBA.
Well, exactly.
When was the last time you talked about a division?
Never.
Never.
You
forget they even have them.
I forget who's in what.
Right.
I couldn't tell you.
Here's the best example of NBA divisions not mattering. The winner of the Southeast Division in the Eastern Conference.
Southeast.
That's right. They have a Southeast. The winner of the Southeast is in the play-in tournament. So even winning your division doesn't get you into the real playoffs. That team, by the way, we are looking for, who is the Orlando Magic?
No.
True story.
Why do they still have them, by the way?
They really shouldn't.
Why did they have them in the first place?
Because there used to be a difference in seeding. So if you won your division, you would be a top two seed. And then when they went to three divisions, you'd be a top three seed. Then they moved it to your guaranteed home court. And then eventually, because certain divisions were so much more stacked than others, the NBA said, the division doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And now I don't think it means anything at all, because if the Magic win the Southeast and they're not even in the real playoffs, what the hell do you get for it? Other than a dopey banner. And the worst part about the Knicks banner, because I agree with your opinion, but I am biased, is that the Knicks didn't put the banner up until retroactively years later.
Yeah.
They realized we haven't put a banner up in a while.
Oh, you know we won the Atlantic.
Right.
Oh,
let's put that up.
We can put that up, right?
Exactly. At least when my team put the Atlantic Division banner up, they did it right away. Like, hey, we won the Atlantic. Yippity-doo-dah. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. 888-808-1019, and I addressed my issues with a controversy around Aaron Boone from Friday night. There was also a controversy around Juan Soto and the Athletics on Sunday.